Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fascinating week of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. I am LJ.
What's going on, people? It's Tweety. I hope y'all are having a good weekend, good Sunday so far.
As the weather in whatever part of the country you're listening to this from, hopefully has turned into the spring is kind of weather where it's in the 70s, maybe the 80s, depending on where you're living at, and gotten away from that cold, rainy weather that we've been having everywhere across the country the last few weeks, or hell, even in winter, since whenever. Anyways, on to more important matters. NBA playoffs are in full swing right now. It's a lot going on in sports. The NHL playoffs are in full swing, which we haven't really talked about at all, but whatever. MLB, Major League Baseball season is going.
In full swing, yep.
They're about almost 3 weeks into the season. But
yep.
And the NFL draft is coming up this week, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But for right now, we're going to get right into the NBA playoffs. Eastern Conference playoffs right now, one seed Cavs against the Pistons. Cavs up 3-0 in the series.
Yeah.
Next game up there, we're looking to close out the sweep. Not a bit. I mean, this has been a very – I don't know if you've seen any other games. It's been an interesting series to me because I think the only good thing that's – I mean, I say good thing. This series has actually been watchable. Detroit has been playing Cleveland close. I mean, I think every game you've seen or that's been on the first three games, you've kind of gotten a feeling at some point during the game that Cleveland was going to still probably win the game. But they've at least played them close. This is probably, for the playoffs overall, it's been a very interesting one. I don't think it's been a very good representation for the NBA so far, for the most part, because a lot of the games have really been blowouts.
Especially in the Western Conference.
Well, I mean, really on both sides, really. I mean, it's not even just the Western Conference. It's on both sides. And that's kind of made the games, not as a whole, but some of the games have kind of become unwatchable because it's like, okay,
right,
the teams are about 20, 25 points early in the game. But the Pistons, I think, they've been fighting with Cleveland a little bit. You know, I don't think they don't have enough talent. Cleveland's got too much talent to lose to Detroit. And while I would not be surprised if Detroit won this upcoming game, the next game, I fully expect Cleveland to close it out and sweep Detroit. Two seed, the Raptors are struggling against the Pacers.
yeah, they are.
The series is not. It's 2-2.
It's tied 2-2.
Yes.
Yeah, it's tied
2-2. It's 2-2. Pacers won the last game, so they'll be heading back up north. I'm not really sure. I don't really understand what's going on in this series a whole lot. Why the Pacers have been able to play so well against the Raptors. I know DeMar DeRozan hadn't played that great. Paul George being on him has definitely had a huge impact. Pacers came out the other night or yesterday and jumped on them early and just kind of stayed on them. But
yeah,
so that series
right
going at least six. Josh, I forgot who the three seed in the East is.
I say Paul George is the difference in that series right now. I mean, his impact for the Pacers is superstar-ish. You know, it's like he's coming through when big players come through. And he's showing you why he was all-star a few years back and this year, I guess. Show you how he's go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think his defense has probably been the – I mean, obviously they need his offense, but I think his defense is – and what the impact he's had against DeMar DeRozan, I think that's probably, I would say, the biggest contribution he's had to this series so far, the most important one. Because his scoring has been there, but the defense has been amazing. The Heat, against Charlotte, the Heat scored a bunch of points the first two games, and they lost to Charlotte yesterday. Just an interesting series. You know, Charlotte's kind of probably down maybe their best player. Nicholas Batum was their second best player. They shot the ball well yesterday. They shot the ball better. They didn't necessarily shoot the ball well because I think they still ended up shooting, they being the Hornets, I still think they ended up shooting for the game under 40% or right around 40%. So they didn't shoot the ball particularly well, which means the Heat didn't shoot the ball particularly well yesterday. But the Hornets made a few changes from the first two games. They posted up Frank Kaminsky more. He took advantage of his size against some of the smaller guards, especially in the third quarter when the Hornets kind of started to pull off. He had 13 in the third quarter. So they'll be playing game four here coming up soon. Next game will be game four in Charlotte. I still think the Heat will win. We'll close this one out and probably it may end up going six because they may lose again in Charlotte. But
you think they're going to lose another? I don't know if they'll lose another one in Charlotte. It's over five.
Because the thing is, the Heat have shot the ball. The first two games, the Heat had shot the ball an incredibly high percentage. And if they're not shooting that well, if they're not going to shoot in the 60s percentage-wise, and you're going to get around that 40-some-odd percentage range, 45-50% range, I think that the Hornets have a better shot. And the other thing is the Hornets really in this series have not shot in the three-point, have not shot in the three-ball very well, which is contrary to how they, I think they had the fourth most made three-pointers in the NBA during the regular season. So they normally are a better shooting team. So I think this game's going to go. I think the series will go six, maybe seven, but I definitely think it'll go six. So I think Charlotte will win this next game.
Okay, because they both shot on the 40%. Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, Boston, Atlanta. Yeah, it's been an okay series. I mean, it's been
watchable. Yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been watchable. I think Boston's still going. I think Boston's going to lose in five. Isaiah Thomas, if the only way they can win if he scores 40-plus points, the series is over. So they're gonna lose in five. I think Atlanta will win the next two. That series is over. That's the four in the East. Western Conference 1-A matchup.
Golden State, Houston.
Golden State, Houston. Yeah, Warriors lost the other day. Steph Curry didn't play. The NBA said that really, I hate to say the shots should not have counted, but they said that on the game winning shot, James Harden hit, there should have been an offensive foul call. But, whatever. Missed calls happen all the time. Steph Curry didn't play game three or game four. Excuse me, game two or game three.
He
is expected today. The game should be coming on here shortly, if it's not on already. But he is expected to play today. Our series is over in five. That's not even really worth mentioning. The only thing you do get to watch is how bad of a defensive player James Harden is for two more games. The funny part about his defense.
Speaking of James Harden, did you see the reaction to the? To the big shot he hit, the go-ahead shot that he hit, nobody reacted.
Yeah, I saw that, the one guy. I don't think that's a big deal. I don't particularly care. I don't particularly care. No, that doesn't matter to me. I mean, in theory, would you like for everybody to be celebrating and jumping around? Yeah, but, if they're not, it doesn't really matter. When it becomes a problem is when you have people, whatever they're, it's supposedly the reason why they weren't as excited as people felt they should be. Mm-hmm. When that stuff becomes a problem is when it affects how you play on the court.
Mm.
Then when it does that, it's a problem. Otherwise, I say, okay, what, you know what? I don't think the Chiefs and Rockets pay these guys to be friends. They just pay them to play basketball. So you don't have to like him. You don't have to celebrate if he makes every shot. But as long as when you're out there and you do your job, you're making the right basketball plays, meaning like if James Harden is wide open for a layup, you're not going to intentionally look him off because you don't like him or whatever, for whatever reason, you know, with something personal being involved, you know. But otherwise, I don't think it matters. Who cares? They don't have to celebrate. Some, you know, if you watch NBA sidelines and even high school sidelines, people hit game-winning shots all the time, and most people don't jump and go crazy. When Villanova won a national championship, a guy hit a three-point line, the demeanor on their coach's face, he didn't really react at all. You know, there was no over-the-top screaming or anything like that. So I don't think it matters. Clearly, you know, though. What do you think? Tweety, did we lose you? I think we may have lost Tweety. Yeah, I think we lost Tweety. So we'll move on. And Tweety, if you're out there listening in the Twitter, in the internet spirit, call back in and so we can figure out what happened. But so the Rockets are going to lose game four and game five. That series is over. I haven't gotten a chance to check my phone. I've been messing around with my baby boy. So I'm not sure if San Antonio won this last game that they were playing, but the Spurs and the Grizzlies were playing early. I didn't see the game. I totally expect San Antonio probably won, and I literally called in like 2 minutes before the show and didn't really have a chance to look up anything. So 4-5 game. Oh, the Mavericks are getting dusted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. There's talk of chippiness and whether guys are fouling hard and all that kind of stuff. There's a little bit of crying going on, but playoff basketball gets a little bit more physical. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Plus, the Mavericks suck anyways. So, whatever. I expect Oklahoma City to close it out this next game that they play. They're up 3-1 right now. And then the other series, Clippers versus Portland. Interesting game last night. The Clippers, two guards, McCollum and Damian Lillard both played really well. They both shot the ball really well. I believe they both shot 50%, as a matter of fact. Damian Lillard had 32, and McCollum had like 25 or 26 somewhere in there. Mason Plumlee, whichever one of those Plumlee guys on it, and he had like 20-some-odd rebounds. So Portland pulled it together and won a game last night. I still think that the Clippers will win the series. You know, Portland may win one more. Because normally what happens is bench players play better at home.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Portland wins this next game. But this won't go more than six. It'll probably just go fire, though. If the Clippers really want to make some sort of statement as being an elite level team, they need to close this series out in five. I don't think they can compete with the next tier teams, but we'll see. I think they need to close it out in five, but I don't see. Yeah, they need to close it out in five. But let's move on past the NBA and get on to the hot topic. What's really about to captivate the audience next week? It's been in the news a lot lately. NFL draft is coming up Thursday. We talked about it a little bit the last couple of weeks, kind of hitting on it here and there. The Rams have the number one pick overall. The Eagles traded. Now they have the second overall pick.
I was going to read them. We haven't had a chance to talk about that. I mean, do you feel like that the Eagles are making a smart move? Because 9 times out of 10, they're jumping up here to get a quarterback. So, do you think they gave away too much for what could be possibly the second best quarterback in the draft?
I do not believe in the argument that you ever give up too much. The only way I consider you giving up too much, the only reason I could say that somebody, a team will be giving up too much to draft a player, is because the player is an unknown.
Okay.
That's it. The player is an unknown. I mean, you know, everything you're doing is based on what you're projecting and what you think is going to happen. So that's the only way I, in my mind, could say they're giving up too much. Because if you have a chance to draft a, you know, especially at the position that we expect them to draft, a guy who's going to be a top-tier player for the next 15, you know, 16 years in the NFL, then, you know, pretty much that player is going to be worth whatever you give up for him. That's if that happens. Now, if he turns out to fuck balls,
right?
You know, then
that's
it wasn't worth it.
I would feel like it is, because based off of what you just said, they're doing it for an unknown. I mean, like, you don't know how this kid is going to, you know, play in the NFL. I mean, you gave up pretty much your first two rounds this year, first three rounds this year, first and seventh of next year. So it's like, that's a lot for unknown, and you're not even getting the first pick. You're not even being able to get the, you know, what if the other team gets the person you thought? You know, it's still an unknown.
It's a risk. Yeah, I mean, I agree there is a risk. But the one thing that at least I know you and I, neither one of us know, is how that team views him. So, you know, sometimes in the NFL or just in professional sports in general, you have players that some people say, this is as close to a lock as you're going to get.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
like
that player, while, yes, technically an unknown commodity because they haven't played in the NFL, the likelihood of them succeeding is so high that, you know, if you have to trade a lot to get that person, then it may be worth it. Now, I think the argument that to be made is whether Carson Wentz because I don't know who's going to draft who, or Jared Goff is worth it. That's probably the biggest argument as to whether or not these I think I've seen Carson Wentz play maybe like once. So I honestly don't have a good idea of whether that is.
Yeah,
based on what I've heard and read from other people, I would say neither one of these players, neither one of the two quarterbacks that are expected to go 1-2, Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, are probably worth what was given up.
Right. Okay.
Only time will tell, man. But
true.
I want to get to something that started off as a Facebook topic or a Facebook question it wasn't even a question. It was a comment that I made on Facebook. So based on the Rams and the Eagles trading up, presumably, to both take quarterbacks, because they both need quarterbacks, so to both take the top two quarterbacks, we're Cowboys fans. That puts the Cowboys in a very interesting position. There was talk before that maybe the Cowboys would draft one of the two quarterbacks when the draft order before the draft order changed with the two trades. There was talk that maybe the Cowboys would draft a quarterback, or should they draft Ezekiel Elliott? Now, with the draft order change that is as it has with the trades, those two top tier quarterbacks are they will not be available.
Right.
San Diego Chargers have the third overall pick. Now, so let's get to it. This is the comment I made on Facebook yesterday. I said the Cowboys need to draft Jalen Ramsey. Pound sign, hashtag, whatever you want to call it. Enough said.
Okay.
Enough said. That's all I need to say. They need to draft Jalen Ramsey. You disagree.
Okay.
Why?
I don't.
And who do you think they should draft?
I think they should draft Ezekiel Elliott. Not saying that I would disagree with the Jalen Ramsey pick. I also said that. I disclosed that because I feel that Jalen Ramsey is the best athlete in the draft. The reason why I say the Cowboys should draft Ezekiel Elliott is because for the Cowboys, it seems as though they succeed when they don't have to have their defense on the field for 60 plays a game. I don't care if they do draft Jalen Ramsey. I agree with one of your comments when you said in about a year or two, if we drafted him, he would be the best person on our defense. But the problem is, would he be tied in the third quarter because our offense can't get third and ones, like kind of what happened this year? Or even the years when we had Tony Romo and he go 8-8. We can't get 30 yards. I feel like we got the running back from Washington. I can't remember his name. I can't think of his name right now. But we picked him up for, I guess you could say, 30 yards. And I say instead of going with an older Darren McFadden, get Ezekiel Elliott. He's cheaper, he's younger, and he can do the job that you had Murray doing last year for a cheaper price.
Ezekiel Elliott is not cheaper.
I think he'll be paying McFadden veteran minimum. But you got more upside with Zeke. I think your team would be better with Zeke. Now with Jalen Ramsey, you would still have to build with him because
Oh, you making that point against Jalen Ramsey? I'm just saying against the defense as a whole.
Our defense has so many holes that even if you get Jalen Ramsey, you have to get other talented people to help this young man out. Where our offense is kind of talented.
Okay, I'm about to bring the ether. I'll come with the ether. The champ is here. I'm about to shut him down. A1 from day one. All right, Jalen Ramsey, the best defensive player to me in the draft. Well, I'm going to say defensive back, right? I say that because there's been some questions, concerns over the last 5 days or so talking about his lack of interceptions. Really, it isn't even his lack of interceptions. It's the fact that he has dropped quite a few interceptions. Really, that's a big deal. Yeah, I would agree that that's a big deal because in the NFL, the talent from week to week it's a big deal. But the thing that I say about Jalen Ramsey, why the Cowboys are taking him, you don't have to look for Jalen Ramsey. You don't have to find him on game film. His play will find your eyes. I'm not gonna say every week, but when you watch Florida State play over the last couple of years, he jumps off the tape every game. Every game he does something that makes you say, "Wow!" He made huge plays. I think the last year James Winston was there, and they played Notre Dame at the beginning of the season. Notre Dame was undefeated. Florida State was undefeated. He made some huge plays. He is versatile. He can play cornerback. He can play safety. He can play inside linebacker. He can play the nickel corner, kind of like the slot guy.
Right.
He can tackle well. He can tackle in space. He is not just a good athlete. He is an elite athlete. Somebody brought up on the Facebook post yesterday, somebody brought up Maurice Claiborne. True, Cowboys did not hit on Maurice Claiborne. He hadn't. Even though he had a pretty good year last year. But the biggest difference between Jalen Ramsey and Maurice Claiborne is Maurice Claiborne ran a 4.5, almost, what did you say, he ran a 4.5 and a 40. Jalen Ramsey has 4.3, 40 speed. Jalen Ramsey is an elite. He's a world-class athlete.
That is true.
He's a world-class athlete.
That is true.
To top that off, he is the only guy, he's the first freshman since Deion Sanders to start at corner in the secondary or just start on defense for Florida State, which says a lot. I mean, I mean, Florida State has been up and down over the last 20 years. They've had some dry spells, but they've always had great defensive players.
Good defensive back.
Always.
Right.
Had
right.
great defensive players. And I think this guy is another line of. You know who he reminds me of?
And I'm thinking.
Ed Reed.
I'm a guess. I'm
Ed Reed.
Sean Taylor. Oh, Ed Reed. Okay.
No, not Sean Taylor.
Okay.
No, I was going to say Ed Reed. And I say that because, like, now he didn't quite create the turnovers in college, but, you know, he just made so many big plays to me. That's for me watching. And
okay, now
I think that's what the Cowboys have lacked defensively since, I mean, I can't even tell you when, since forever. So they don't have, when was the last time the Cowboys had anybody on defense that you can consistently count on to make a big play? I'm not even talking about just create turnovers, because I do think that he has the ability to help create turnovers. You know, which the Cowboys really.
The last person on the Cowboys.
Okay, yeah, DeMarcus Ware. Yeah, DeMarcus Ware, absolutely. But I think, and the Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys already have gotten one piece in the secondary. Byron Jones had a season. Yeah, Byron Jones. Solid season last year. You bring Jalen Ramsey in, you know, you could have the beginnings of a great safety tandem, or you know, Ramsey plays corner.
Next question: do you think he would be a better corner or safety in the NFL, given his, you know, his speed and his athleticism, but his size also?
From what I've seen, most people say safety. I'm going to say, I think in order to take a to be able to take the to get the most out of his skill set, I'd say safety, because I think one of the things he showed at Florida State was he's an excellent blitzer. You know, combination of size, speed, and skill. He's an excellent blitzer, and he can create turnovers via his blitzing. And so I think safety, because corners don't blitz very often, and he's a good tackler.
Right.
You know, like I said, you know, I think he can he helps more at the safety position than he does just sticking him out. At the corner spot. And I want to hit this one last thing before we get off this thing. Okay, you said bringing in Ezekiel Elliott. I disagree, not to knock Ezekiel Elliott, but
okay.
I don't think Ezekiel Elliott is going to come in and be an elite running. You know, he's not going to come in and be Adrian Peterson or DeMarco Murray. The season that DeMarco Murray had his last year with the Cowboys, I don't anticipate Ezekiel Elliott coming in his first year and doing that. Do I think he could beat? No, because he wasn't as good at college as Todd Gurley was.
Okay.
That could have been a function of offense, but I don't think, to me, he was not as good in college as Todd Gurley was. Todd Gurley was amazing at Georgia.
He was.
And even that being said, Todd Gurley, if you look at his stats last year, he had some big games, but a lot of it was coming. He was getting those big chunk runs. He would have huge chunks, of it, you know. But so I mean, if you draft Ezekiel Elliott, are the Cowboys going to win the Super Bowl with him? No, I don't think they're not going to win the Super Bowl because of him. They're not going to win the Super Bowl because of Jalen Ramsey. But I do think that they can get by with Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden playing running back based on having Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. They can get by with a competitive top-tier offense and drafting Jalen Ramsey. That'll elevate the defense more to me than bringing in Ezekiel Elliott would elevate the offense. Because you already have two star players on offense. You really got no star players on defense because Sean Lee's always hurt. Man, we ran out of time. I just Ethan Ezekiel Elliott. I don't want to hear no more talk about the Cowboys.
Whatever. We only got 10 seconds left. I can't say too much, so we good. I'm gonna have to catch you.
Don't draft Joey Bosa. I don't care that Joey Bosa plays hard. That's great. I don't care that he plays hard. See y'all next Sunday. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Peace.
Peace.